Time now to talk to our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. He's on the line. Good morning, Richard.
And good morning, Paul.
Listen, mate, getting into it now for everybody in the Shire who loves listening to your segment to find out about things. Tell us about the payment scam, because that sounds interesting.
Look, this is really worrying me out there at the moment, Paul. I'm dealing with lots of businesses who are getting stung by this. It turns out that people are getting their business email systems compromised. So hackers are basically going along. You've got a security problem at your end. And they're intercepting bills that you send out. And what they do is they go along and they change payment details on the bill. So basically, you know, like Marion will get a bill that says, please pay Richard at this with this account number and BSB. And it doesn't come to Richard. It goes to somebody overseas. So and the two businesses I've dealt with this week, $4,500 and nearly $7,000 that they've lost, and it's not coming back to them as well. So I'm urging everybody out there that, you know, if you've got a business and you've got people that pay the bills for you, go along, talk to them. Go along and say, hey, has Richard actually changed his account number of BSB? If it's not the same one we used to pay him with, can you get on the phone and ring him, confirm that it is at the moment? Because this is rife, Paul. So, you know, I'm talking local sporting clubs, community groups, small businesses, large businesses. They're all getting stung with this. So, you know, again, check people's details. Call them up if you need to. Don't just pay a bill thinking that it's going to go to that recipient.
So let's get this right. A company sends a bill out, but instead of being that company's BSB and their account number, they've got another account number that doesn't match. I guess what people could do is try maybe the last payment that you made and check the details. Oh, hello, they don't match.
Exactly right, Paul. One of the ones that I dealt with, and I'll give you some idea, I've got them as a client down here, and the bank came along and said, you paid two people you shouldn't have paid, and they shut their accounts down. Now, I went in there, and there's nothing wrong with theirs. The problem came from a company in Darwin, and I rang that company and I said, how many people have got access to this email account up there? 50 people have got access to it, Paul. So there is a problem up there, not down here. So, you know, just again, be really, really careful, Paul.
Okay. Now, what about your emails? Is it important that you know your email settings?
It is. A lot of people have issues because we want emails down straight away, don't we, Paul?
Yep.
We need them here right now. Now, in a lot of cases, when the emails don't come down, people panic. And they sit in front of the computer and they go, why isn't this working? I know what I'll do. I'll start changing email settings in there. I'll retype my password in there. All you're doing basically is mucking it up in a lot of cases. So I always say, people, know your email settings. Write them down. Take screenshots of your phone, the computer. Know your email password. But if your emails don't come down, the first question I always ask people is your internet actually working at the time? No internet. No emails, Paul. Also, if your email, if your internet slows down dramatically, and I'm talking sometimes it can slow down to under a megabit, emails can't be pushed to your devices as well. So you'll sit there and it'll be spinning away. Nothing happens. You think, well, there's a problem with the email provider. I've had people ring the provider up and then they go through all the settings and they change things and they change passwords. If your email worked yesterday, doesn't work today, how about you go and get a cup of coffee, cup of tea, restart the computer and go back and see if it works after a little while, because there's always a reason. The settings haven't changed.
Look, a question without notice. I've been having awful trouble at home with the mouse, and I've had to replace it twice. I've just bought another one. The one in the studio I was having trouble with as well, but we went down to Cairns and bought the absolute best Logitech we could buy, and I'm still paying off the bank loan. The ones at home that are, you know, fairly cheap, I guess, what I'll do is go down to Cairns and get another one of these, because I can't find anybody up here who can actually supply me with a decent mouse. You can buy mice, you know, the $20 ones and things like that, but I need a really good one. What I'm having awful trouble. Are you finding that people have trouble with their mouse, or is it?
Is it a branded mouse? Is it a Logitech mouse?
Yes, it is. It's just sticking. And now, if your internet is slow, could that be a reason it's sticking?
No.
Okay.
So in a lot of cases, what I'd say to you is, have you got the Logitech software on your computer to run the mouse?
Well, you've got the little thing you plug in that comes with the mouse. We've got that.
That's right. So what you need to do is go to the Logitech website.
Yes.
Key in, and in, there's a driver part in there. Key in exactly the name of the model number of your mouse.
Yes.
There'll be software there. Download that. I think that will fix your issue.
Oh, really? Oh, thank goodness I asked you that. It's been driving me nuts because I get up in the morning and the thing, it just won't move, and you're there, you know, for ages trying. Then you have to sort of, restart the computer, try to do that, and eventually you get it going. But that's great. So go to Logitech, the website, put in the number, and then download that software.
That's it. Because what happens is when people go along and they plug little blue Bluetooth dongle in for the mouse.
Yes.
It goes out, gets the standard one from Microsoft. Now, sometimes the standard one from Microsoft isn't as good as the one from Logitech.
Good.
Because Logitech made the mouse.
Good on you. Thank you so much. Oh, you've always got the answer. Now, we're coming to one of my favourite parts, and you know what it is? It's the crap app that we should have an actual, sort of thing, shouldn't we? Like, you know, a drum. Go on.
You know what, Paul? I'm going to send you some music to play for the crap app of the week.
You've got some music for the crap app.
I have got some music for the crap app of the week.
What sort of music do you play for a crap app of the week?
You'll see, Paul, but please, listeners out there, don't be eating your breakfast when it comes down.
Okay. Well, hang on a second. Look, I've got an El Cheapo here. Hang on. Go!
That we could call that the crap sound of the week. That was great, though. No, that was good, Paul. Okay, the crap app of the week this week is an app called Updates for Samsung. So all the people out there with a Samsung smartphone, sometimes you get frustrated because the updates don't come down to your phone, so you get a bit excited sometimes. And you go to the Google Play Store, and believe it or not, there was an app that used to be up there called Updates for Samsung. Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it, Paul?
It does.
Unfortunately, it's not. The reality was that Samsung had nothing to do with this app. It took you to this page that had ads all over it, and it actually asked you to make a payment before it would download the promised updates for it. 10 million people around the world were tricked into downloading this app from the Google Play Store.
No.
Honestly, people, if you've got this on your phone, get rid of it. The people on the phone wanted $34.99, which didn't go through the Google Play Store, would take you off site. Some people actually paid for this. So if you have an app on your phone called Updates for Samsung, get rid of it. You will get apps on your phone when Google send them to Samsung. Samsung send them to the provider, which is Telstra or Optus or wherever you're with, and they deem that they send it down to your phone.
Yes.
So,
People should be aware, shouldn't they, of these different crap apps, because they're putting in their credit card details and possibly, the numbers on the back and all of that stuff. And these could be absolute scams just to get your credit card details.
They are. Exactly right, Paul. Do not do this. We've got to start being a bit more suspicious about these things. But 10 million people around the world doing this, honestly, you're an idiot if you did it. Get it off your phone. And don't do this thing again.
Yeah. And when he says idiot, it's nothing personal. It's just that you're an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Richard. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you next week. Oh, just before you go, your website?
Head over to talktech.com.au.
Good on you. Thanks, mate. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Paul.